Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. We're going to take a look at the holiday season. Are you looking forward to the coming holidays, or maybe you wish you could just skip them? And we'll be looking at some of those not-so-jolly feelings that can accompany celebration, and we'll talk about ways you can cope with those. Larry Mueller here, my guest in the studio with me, back once again, Shyla Mergane. She is a distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Does a lot of speaking. She's a writer, a facilitator, and therapist. So great to have her back. She comes by every couple of months or so to talk with us. And today we're talking about whether or not you're dreading the holidays, and if you are, how to make them more enjoyable. Love to hear from you. Maybe you've got some ways that you deal with the holidays, or maybe you have some questions about how to deal with them. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Shyla Mergane, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Larry.
So why do holidays make us feel depressed or stressed?
This is a particularly challenging time of year, and often it can be quite enjoyable, and we can have that experience of magic and wonder and joy.
Yeah.
But for many people, especially if it's been a difficult time, people can feel like they don't have that holiday cheer, and they can be vulnerable to a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, worry, and even depression. It can be one of those triggers for going into a lower mood where you're feeling very lonely and even hopeless.
On the other hand, holidays can make us happy and relaxed. So they're a good thing, aren't they?
They can be, yeah. They often are. And sometimes people find that, you know, for many years they've had these amazing holiday moments with family and friends, but for a variety of reasons, maybe this year in particular, can be quite hard. I remember last year, there was so much trending out there in articles and social media of people really struggling with the holidays and being almost surprised by it, because there is this expectation, the holiday movie, the Hallmark card, saying, oh, you know, it should be all joy. And when you're not feeling that, you can really feel alone and start to wonder, what's wrong with me?
You mentioned the word expectations, and there's a quote that says, expectations are the root of all heartache. Can we also say that expectations are the root of holiday stress?
Yes, because we can imagine it to be picture perfect, you know, and that's the image we carry. And it's often not that. You know, it can be travel delays. It could be financial concerns. It could be that squabble with the in-laws or your sister or brother that feel like it's not quite living up to those expectations. And so I think trying to realize what those expectations are and then just drop them and try to approach the holidays from that fresh perspective of being mindful, just in the moment, enjoying what is, can really help you really more flourish this time of year.
Everything doesn't have to be perfect.
It rarely is, Larry.
Oh, man. The family gathering part of it, you know, especially given the politics and so forth, and all that's going on that way, there are family members. You may have family members totally opposite you in political persuasion. How do you keep family gatherings fun?
And that is one of the challenges of holidays: is you bring a group of people together. And you're often spending extended periods of time. There can be alcohol involved and a lot of overeating and a lot of conversation, and things can trip your trigger. You can get into those squabbles. And I've seen, unfortunately, relationships ruined over the Thanksgiving dinner, and we don't want that to happen. There's a great story of somebody who was a Zen master who was enlightened, and his teacher said to him, just go home and spend a weekend with your family and see how well you do. And so it's true. true when we're together with those loved ones. You know, little things can really irk us. And so we can approach it again by, you know, even thinking ahead of time. One, how long is it good for me to stay? Number two, what kinds of conversations would be safe? Maybe it's just talking about the weather or the Packer game coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly politics, especially if you're on differing sides, you know, no good's going to come
from that.
Yep, from talking about politics. And then I always think, do an activity together. You know, you might play a board game or maybe go out and see a movie that's opening in the theater or take a walk together. You know, those are the experiences that really build memories. And then you can talk about that activity versus just sitting around and disagreeing about old family squabbles that happened 20 years ago.
I'm thinking about some of the family gatherings that we've had in the last 10, 15 years. And some of the most fun we had were with board games. You mentioned board games because you can, if you pick the right games, you can get the broad range of ages of people involved. And those have always been a lot of fun. Most of the time, we don't even keep score, which is also a good thing because it takes away that competitive part of it. But it's just laughing at the Pictionary, you know, whatever happened with each individual person, and it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, what a great idea. And certainly a lot of young kids probably haven't even played those kinds of board games, so you might dust them off and bring them out and really also encourage a technology-free couple hours instead of everyone sitting around on their screens kind of numbing out and distracting themselves. And I think you're right. It can really join everyone, whether you're 65 or age 10, picking that board game that's good for all, suited for all, can really, again, be a really enjoyable, memorable moment.
I can recommend Pictionary, and Apples to Apples is another another good one. That
I know my family and I like to play Parcheesi.
That's a good one, too.
Yep.
Well, it's, you know, this could be, and I've had friends who have had to go through this in the last few years, the first holiday season spent without a loved one, and someone dies. What's the best way to deal with that loss during the holidays?
And that can be one of the most challenging times is when you do have that loss, whether it's a divorce or a breakup or a death of a person. It could also be a job loss or death of a pet, or maybe you've just moved and lost your community. And what can happen is that memories start to flood in of that person or that that situation, and you start to really feel that loss. I often think of a loss like a death is like a missing tooth, that your tongue keeps going back and checking for the tooth and noticing that it's gone. In the same way, your mind can really go and think of that person and miss that person. And there can be a kind of a heartache that's re-experienced, even if that person maybe died a few years ago, or you had that marriage end a few years ago. It can feel very visceral during the holidays. It kind of brings it back to the surface. So what can you do? And I think first to just feel whatever arises, versus often people will start to stuff it or overeat or overdrink or numb out with too much TV. Instead, make a little space to feel it and just be with it. And then do something soothing and kind to yourself, for yourself. You might, you know, do some self-care, like move your body, you know, outside. Mm-hmm. You might find a safe friend that you can just say, gosh, this is hard, even if you just send an email or a text if they're not available by phone. You might do something that would feel really nourishing, like take yourself out for a nice meal, or watch a movie at home, or spend time with a pet. And, you know, just kind of allow it to be there, and to know that although it's a tough time, it's just one time during the year and you'll get through it.
Yeah. I have a friend who has two children, and her husband passed away, and this Thanksgiving, what they're doing is they're delivering food to people during Thanksgiving. So they're spending the kind of the day doing something kind of in the husband's honor in a way, I think, but also seeing a lot of different people. And of course, when you're coming to someone's home with food, you're going to be welcome with a big smile and a happy faces.
And so it sounds like your friends know one of the secrets of happiness and well-being, and that is generosity. That if you can do something for somebody else, it actually benefits you the most. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you are feeling lonely or struggling or down or experiencing that loss, you know, you can often become too self-focused, kind of too internally really ruminating and dwelling, and to get out of yourself and get back into your life through just doing something meaningful. And it could be something small, like donating to Salvation Army when you're walking past in a store, or sending a card to somebody, or leaving baked cookies for your elderly neighbor across the street, or call a friend you know who's upset too, or just letting them know that you're thinking about them.
So there's another kind of loss that doesn't involve death, and that's divorce. And let's deal with that for just a minute. For someone who is recently divorced, what advice do you have for those families? That could be a particularly difficult time, I would think, not only for the spouse, but for the children that may be involved.
Yes. So, you know, part of why divorce can be challenging over the holidays is that a lot of your traditions are changing, that you may all have gotten together and had Thanksgiving dinner prepared a certain way and done certain things on that Thanksgiving. And now either you know, your children aren't with you, or they're not with the other spouse, or you just have to do it differently. And so, you know, thinking about what traditions do you want to keep, and then some traditions will need to shift, but it's an opportunity to think about what new things do we want to create together. And I always think with kids, talking to them ahead of time and letting them, especially if they're old enough — if they're very young, wouldn't be appropriate, but if they're old enough, really encouraging them to be part of the planning, asking them what they would like to do, you know, have each child pick one thing that they would look forward to. So it can be back to that place of celebration.
Oh, I like that idea. That's a great idea. Our guest today, Shyla Merghain, great to have her back. She comes by every couple of months to talk with us about a whole variety of things. Today we're looking at sort of coping with the holidays. I'd love to hear from you at this point. How do the holidays affect your mood, maybe? What helps you feel better at this time of the year? Maybe have words of encouragement for those going through difficult times. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at coping with the holidays with our guest. Shyla Merghain is a distinguished psychologist, clinical assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Great to have her back. Certainly, if you have a question or maybe comment or maybe an experience to share in this area, we'd love to hear from you. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take some calls. Samantha in Whitehall, thank you very much for calling.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Anyway, I just wanted to comment or tell just a brief bit about me. I'm 37 now. My parents got divorced when I was 6 years old, and we always, like, had two Christmases, two Thanksgivings. You know, everything was two except for Halloween, you know. But otherwise, everything, we always had two of everything, and they had to split us up. And I just remember that it was awful when my parents first got divorced, because I'm like, well, why isn't Mom here? Why isn't Dad here to celebrate together, you know? And if I can just encourage any other, you know, kids of divorced parents going through this, to let them know that it's okay, and, you know, it's just a different way to celebrate the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
So
those
yeah.
are good. Samantha, thank you so much for calling. Shyla Merghain, what do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Samantha. And I think you speak to the experience of that it was an adjustment going from two to just one parent at the Thanksgiving table, but you got through it and other kids can too, and I think with some good communication and allowing kids to have their experience. They may miss the other spouse, the other partner, and maybe they do need to call or FaceTime, or maybe you need to split the day, especially early on right after a divorce. Or sometimes couples will choose to spend Thanksgiving together and put differences aside for the sake of their kids, at least initially.
I think that's very helpful if you're able to do that in a congenial way, I guess you could say. Thanks again, Samantha. Appreciate it very much. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. And we have some callers up online here or coming online, so we'll go to those phones in just a second. So there are people out there, a lot of people out there who are alone. I mean, they're alone. And they don't, maybe the family members live far away. Maybe they don't have any family members. How do those, what advice do you have for people in that situation?
And that's the number one thing I saw last holiday season, and I can anticipate even more this year, is people feeling the ache of aloneness. And I think loneliness is one of the hardest emotions that we all experience. And there's actually some research showing almost an epidemic of loneliness, that people are experiencing more loneliness than they did years ago, in part because we're connecting less in person and more with our devices. And even young people, you know, they say their primary language is texting or Snapchatting, not in-person communication. So even young people are experiencing that loneliness. So, you know, if we think about, again, what would help with that is, I think, recognizing the common humanity of it, that other people, too, are feeling alone. We're not the only ones. And I think if you can get out to connect with somebody, that really helps. You know, just if you can take the initiative to reach out to somebody, again, somebody in need, somebody who cares about you, somebody that you care about, and foster, even if you can, in-person connection, that tends to be much more meaningful, and a little bit goes a long way. And even just getting out in public, I think, you know, going to a coffee shop if it's open. So seeing others can be, or even just taking a walk around the neighborhood and seeing some neighbors can be helpful.
Getting out of the house. Get out of the house and if at all possible, and see some other folks. Lynn in Milwaukee, will turn to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about, she mentioned games, playing games, and I saw this on a Hallmark movie, and I think this is great. I wouldn't mind doing this at our Thanksgiving meal. Each person writes down something good about each person in the room, and then you read it, and the people have to guess who, well, other people have to guess who you're talking about. I guess that could go either way, but you're hopefully you write good things about the other person.
Good point, Shyla.
That's a wonderful idea, Lynn. I did that at work recently with some coworkers, and about a year ago or 2 years ago, and people have kept that sheet of paper, actually. And so I think that can be meaningful, of just sharing one thing you appreciate about the person, or you like about the person, or admire about the person. And I think it also speaks to a really wonderful thing to bring into the holidays, and that's gratitude. So whether it's for one another, or even if you are alone and aren't able to get out of the house and prefer to be alone, even just reflecting on gratitude that, you know, there are things that you have that other people on the planet don't have, that can be one of the best things you can do to boost your mood and get out of that holiday funk.
A variation of that, I was at a Thanksgiving dinner 2 years ago, I think it was, where all of everybody's name was put into a hat. And you drew one of the names out of the hat, and then he had a few minutes, everybody had kind of a few minutes to think about it, and then that was the person that you talked about, what your experience with that person, what you enjoyed about that person. So it was similar to what she was talking about.
Yeah, and that's often what we remember. It's rarely the gifts that we received.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our culture, we spend upwards of $600 billion during the holiday season on gifts. And you think, you know, a year or two later, those gifts are where? Probably in a landfill. And so I love that idea, Larry, that of just picking somebody's name at that family gathering and sharing something heartfelt about the impact that that person has had in your life. And my sense is that person's going to remember that a few years from now and probably not the gift that they received that year.
And as I recall, there was almost in every case, there was somebody had some little funny story to tell, but then turned it into a nice statement about the person. So.
Oh, and then let laughter together. Yeah, they always say laughter is the best medicine.
Well, Ann in Portage, we'll go to you next. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say that sometimes some of us prefer to be alone at the holidays. I lost my only child. It's almost 20 years ago. And I, the first few years, I tried going to friends' house, relatives' houses, and it was just so uncomfortable that I find that the best way to get through the holidays is not to just be by myself without all the reminders.
What do you do while you're by yourself? Do you read or watch television?
Oh, I read.
Yeah.
I read a lot. And watch TV, cook meals, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, Shyla, what do you think?
Yeah, first, Ann, I'm so sorry about the loss of your son. That, you know, it was just a tragedy. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you have found a way to really take care of yourself. And you bring up such a great point, so thank you so much for calling, that some people prefer to spend the holiday alone. And knowing that about yourself, and it could be, you know, a particular year you just choose to spend it on your own, because it can be painful to be out with others and everyone's cheerful with their kids. And that can feel like salt on a wound, or even just going on social media and these picture perfect photos out there can also feel painful. So definitely if you realize this year, I just want to kind of go inward, you know, planning some things. So for you, you know, having those books, you know, but it can be lots of different things that you could do. Yeah, you mentioned cooking, or maybe it's doing some artwork or some sort of craft that you enjoy, that can feel like a gift of time to have that day just to unencumbered by expectations from others. You can kind of do whatever your heart's desire.
Ann, thank you. Good on you. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Let's take another call. By the way, you can join in. We have some open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. How do you deal with the holiday stress? What have you found that lightens up the mood during the holiday season? Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And now let's turn to Jan in Viroqua. Jan, hello.
Hello. I have lost both of my parents and several other members of my family that I was particularly close to. And I find that if I set aside a specific time to be with them in a contemplative way, maybe with a glass of wine or just sitting with a candle, I feel that I've had quality time with them, that I've honored them, and then I am freer to enjoy the present during the rest of the day. And sometimes I will do a project, a special project that I think would be meaningful to them that I can dedicate to them. So this Thanksgiving, in addition to just spending some time sitting with my loved ones who've passed on, I'm going to be working on a shelf for my meditation shrine and dedicating that time and that shelf to them. And so I feel it gives me a new way to be with them, and it helps me a lot.
Oh, Jan, thanks so much. Shyla, have a comment?
Yeah, Jan, that's really beautiful. Both the personal practice that you do of kind of meditating or are kind of centering and sensing their presence during a particular holiday, and then also with the bench that you're making or the shelf that you're making. And I think when there is that kind of loss, having some reflection time can be helpful. Many people find that they're imagining that their person is there and they're talking with them, or some people even feel their presence, sense their presence, so they can be flooded with those good memories. And some people will turn to photographs or even home videos that were recorded and use that as a reflection of all those moments that you shared together. And it can feel like that loss isn't so vast and wide when you bring that person into your mind. And I love the idea of dedicating something in their memory, whether it's money you're giving to charity or a project you're creating at home, or just reaching out to somebody who's affiliated with that family member. That, you know, there's so many ways that we can keep those loved ones alive, even if they're not on the planet anymore.
Jan, thank you so much. I very much appreciate your call. And we will turn to Janice in Northern Iowa next. Hi, Janice.
Hi, I hope I don't lose you on my cell phone. Yeah, I'm a retired nurse. I just recently retired. So for about the first time in a long time, I'm actually going home to Kansas for Thanksgiving. But I just was reflecting on your show. It's when I was working, all my peers, we obviously wanted to be elsewhere with our families. But, you know, we were always particularly cheerful because the patients did not want to be there. And you just had to make it, you know, really not too hard on them. And secondly, I just kind of came away with the notion over the years that holidays are a bit overblown. Perhaps one should try to stay in touch with their families more often. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling.
Janice, you make a great point at the end that, yeah, families did keep in touch maybe more often, then it wouldn't have to be this big ordeal on, for example, Thanksgiving, you know, to have everyone fly in and see each other. So staying connected more, I think, can be helpful.
Well, and that makes, I think then it makes the time when you do get together a little easier in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. I think so. It's good points, Janice. Thank you so much. We've been talking about Thanksgiving, but Christmas and the holiday season is coming up, and gift giving time too. And you talked about that a little bit. How much do we spend again on gifts every year?
Some estimates say $600 billion are spent each year on the holidays.
Well, it does keep a lot of people employed.
It does. There
good
is for the
that.
Economy. Yeah.
There is that, but. How do you make gift giving easier?
You know, I think it's first just remembering the true meaning of the season. That, you know, I like to think about how for thousands of years we've celebrated the holidays as humans, and that candles are lit during the holidays in various religious traditions.
Yes.
And I think of candles as being that light of hope, that in the darkness, mm-hmm. you know, there is that sense of hope. And so when we think of the real meaning, I think it is, you know, offering hope. And we live in a world where we need hope, I think, at this time. So when we think about gift giving, I think about it from a perspective of mindfulness, of what would really be meaningful to somebody. And it could be an object that you're buying and really making it something that they would enjoy or savor, find funny, or really personalize it. Or you might create something, you know, that you don't mm-hmm. have to spend much money. And I always say the biggest gift we have is our own presence. So often quality time and our overstressed and overpaced lifestyle, just carving out some time to be with somebody can be a gift. And with kids, you know, kids do have wants and needs, and they want to keep up with their peers, and that can be tough for parents. And so many people go into debt over the holidays and spend the rest of the year paying it off. So, you know, maybe also if kids are old enough, sitting them down and kind of saying, hey, this is a budget, and let's prioritize what we're going to get, and we can't get everything, but let's really enjoy, you know, it's not keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, we're and involving kids even in some volunteer work or giving something to somebody else in need. You mentioned the Thanksgiving meal. I had a friend who packed up the kids and put a turkey and a whole Thanksgiving meal in the back of the car with the kids, and they brought it off to a family in need. So mm-hmm. sometimes that's really healthy for kids to see. It's not all about, you know, the me, mm-hmm. but it's about we and what we can do, what kind of good we can do.
Well, let's take another call. Margie in Milwaukee, thank you so much for calling.
Hi, Larry. I wanted to share what my family has done the last 3 years. I have 4 grown children that are married, and now I have 8 grandkids. And a few years ago, it became a concern for people buying so many gifts. And the mom said, we don't need that much stuff anymore. And it was a lot of stress when people were working. So we unilaterally decided that no gifts at Christmas, except Grandma. I buy something for everybody. But then we pool our money, and in February, all 17 of us go away. And we've gone to Door County. We've gone to the Dells. This past February, we rented a home that slept 18 people, and we stayed there for 2 nights on the lake. And the kids, my grandkids, love it. They totally understand, and they look forward to it. And the holiday is so much more relaxed. Plus, we're excited about planning for it.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into the planning of it, and where are we going to go? And that sounds like a wonderful idea, Shyla.
I love that, and such a wonderful large family, too. The picture of you renting some place with 18 bedrooms just brought a smile to my face. And yes, I mean, think about how much stress it can be to run around buying gifts for everyone and not sure what people want and maybe overspending on certain items. And just even the parking lot at the mall, just navigating that can take you half an hour to find a parking spot. And so, once again, Margie, creating experiences, you know, those memory maker moments. And if you can, maybe pooling some of that money together to do something local in our wonderful state of Wisconsin. And even if you don't take a trip, it could have just be a fun evening out doing something that would be different than you typically do with your loved ones.
And I like the idea of February. As a time about February here in Wisconsin.
That's when you want that experience.
We're all wishing we could do something. And so that's a great idea. And I thought even further, Margie, if everybody gets together at Christmas time, that's also a great time for planning all the things you're going to be doing in February. So that's pretty cool, too. Thank you so much for that call. Jennifer in Verona, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Shyla. I actually have decided, given the state of the world, that it's important to give gifts that really don't just add to the clutter of people's lives, both physically and also in terms of, every object that you have, it comes from somewhere. Someone made it. Someone made money off of it. And so what I've kind of decided is that when I give gifts or even when I buy things for myself, that I really think about what impact does this have on my life and what impact does this have on the world. And I know for a lot of people that sounds kind of like a killjoy thing. But actually, there are a lot of great companies out there that are doing good and also make wonderful products. I just saw something about the company Toms that a lot of people know about. They make shoes, they'll make a pair, and then for every pair you buy, they'll give another pair to somebody. And they also have just decided that they're going to do something about gun violence. So every time that you buy a product from a company like that, you are helping to make solutions to make our world a better place. And that's something that's particularly important to me this holiday season.
Oh, Jennifer, thank you so much. That sounds like a great idea, Shyla.
Jennifer, that was very inspiring. I'm sure many listeners appreciated your perspective. And I often think of the holidays as a time when the deep need of the world meets your deep gladness. And I really felt that as you were talking. And the interconnectedness of us all. You know, the product we buy, you know, was made somewhere else in our country or on the planet by particular people on the planet and, you know, is ending up somewhere maybe in that landfill or not. And what I love, Jennifer, is your thoughtfulness and a bit of research of the things I am purchasing. You know, may it bring joy to myself or my loved one or friend or family member, but also maybe it's helping a cause I care about, or it's bringing income to a woman or man in Taiwan or Haiti or, you know, wherever it's made. And thinking about that gift is also giving back to other parts of our world or our community.
And thanks again for that call, Jennifer. Wendy from the town of Buchanan emailed to say that the church where she serves as the organist holds an annual Blue Christmas service, which acknowledges that the holidays aren't always happy for everyone. She says it's an uplifting and inspirational service. It also recognizes losses that have occurred to people recently or in the past year, at least. And we haven't mentioned the churches, but the churches can play a very important role for many people at this time, at these times of year.
Yeah, there's a lot of solace that can be had from going to your place of worship. And if you have a faith, it may haven't been to a church service or synagogue or temple, it may be a time to reconnect with that spiritual practice or religious faith that you have. It can provide a lot of comfort.
Therese, in Madison, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Larry. What we have done for the past few years is my family, we have two sons, and instead of buying gifts for each other, we buy dog gifts at the Humane Society, and then we give each other presents for our dogs. And it is so fun.
Oh, great.
Because it takes off all the pressure of trying to get something that somebody else is going to like. And it is just, it's so fun because you're giving money to the Humane Society, and then you get to see the dogs, you know, with the presents and opening them, and it's so enjoyable.
Do you wrap those presents, Therese?
We do. We wrap them, and then the dogs tear them apart, and they don't necessarily all stick to their own presents, but hilarious. It's so fun.
Oh.
Shopping in a pet store is so fun because well, there's so many things you can get, and you try to figure out the dog's personalities, and I highly recommend it. It's hilarious.
Well, it sounds. Do you video this when the present opening?
Well, we haven't, but we should.
This year, Therese, I challenge you to videotape the opening of the presents by the dogs. And then send me the video. I would love to see it. It sounds wonderful. Doesn't it, Shyla?
It does. And I loved it because that's something that my parents and I chose to do this year. We decided we're not getting gifts for each other, but I have a puppy named Belle, and we all decided to get her gifts. But I love the idea of videotaping her opening them.
Oh, thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, here we are at the end of our segment here. So, last minute advice. What's your advice for enjoying the holidays this year?
I think to really make it what you want, to really personalize it, to listen, take a moment even after today to think about what are some three things that I hope to get out of this season. You know, do I want to connect with a person? What do I want to really nourish myself and do self-care around? And what experience do I want to have? And then, you know, take some action and go forth and do it. And even if it's not exactly perfect or how you expected it, that you can really enjoy it with, you know, just some simple taking a few breaths and remembering some gratitude around this season.
Always fun. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, Shyla.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone.
She will be back on February 19th, and we'll talk again, I'm sure, about another topic. We always think of an appropriate topic when she comes by, and we'll have another great topic for her.